Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on WJJQ. Your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods.
Let's go now!
Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening here, the second show of the year. And needless to say, everyone is itching to get back on the sideline for football season. Joining me right back in the studio is our Iron Man himself, Mr. Keith Hansey. Look at you showing up for both shows already.
Yes. Well, I got to set the precedence early.
I know, right? You have to set the precedence early. And please welcome back to the show, Aaron Neiman. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Alex. Happy to be here.
Aaron, let me ask, how was your summer?
Very busy. You know, Keith's been the Iron Man. You've asked me on a couple of times, but I've been on the sidelines coaching my daughter or going to football camps, just doing a bunch of different stuff. So I'm personally ready for the seasons to change. This is my favorite time of year when the leaves start to fall and you can hear the crack of the pads and those Friday night lights. So yeah, I'm ready to sit on the couch and watch football and drink beer.
Like, who isn't, right? Well, we got a lot to get into here today, but first, obviously, we want to say if this is your first time coming in this year, welcome. We want to again welcome Hobbs Service Center as our sponsor for shows throughout this season when the pressure's on, and you obviously want your MVP in the game. And for Northwoods Recreation, that's Hobbs Service Center of Tomahawk. ATV or UTV giving you trouble? Flag on the play. Snowmobile not ready for when the snow starts flying? That's a major penalty.
Both guys, 5 minutes each for fighting!
Boat needs to be put away for the season? Hobbs comes off the bench with boat storage and shrink wrapping. And when your lakefront needs a stronger starting lineup, Hobbs is your local dock and boat lift dealer. Trail, snow, water, three seasons, one MVP. Hobbs Service Center in Tomahawk, proud sponsor of the Sports Q. When your Northwoods toys need a win, put Hobbs Service Center in the game. Located on County Road L, just north of Tomahawk. We got a lot to get into here today. Coming up, we've got Hatchet volleyball coach Casey Holt is going to join the show. We're going to preview the upcoming season they've got. Plus, Hatchet football coach Dewey Riley will be in. They've got a big game coming up Friday night, as is every single high school football game. And we'll also chat with Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin, because Milwaukee Brewers continue to wow everyone, especially their performance last night, putting up 22 runs against Seattle. We'll talk about that. We'll also take a look at the Badger 2026 football schedule, and we'll have a look at the Northwoods Week 1 schedule. But first, we're going to head on out to Green Bay, because it's time to talk some Packer preseason. So obviously it's a preseason game. You're not going to put a lot of stock into it. The Packers lose to the Steelers in week one of the preseason last week, 28-9. The offense, biggest note, they were held without a touchdown against the Steeler defense. Jordan Love went on the opening drive, 3-for-5 for 18 yards. Biggest winner from the preseason opener, Trey Smack, because he kept smacking the football left and right. 3-for-3 on field goals of 37, 38, and 57 yards, plus he made a 58-yarder that was nullified by a defensive penalty. Kyle McCord, who's probably going to be Green Bay's QB3, went 12 for 16 for 102 yards in relief. Keyshawn Nixon, it sounds like that he's falling out of favor a lot with his coaches and out of the starting lineup. Brandon Cisse is probably going to be a CB1 for the time being. Aaron, I'll start with you. What's your biggest takeaway from the first preseason game?
Well, you did a very good job of stealing my thunder. So, honestly, I think, yeah, my good for the game, which your first topic, number one, was Trey Smack. I think there was a little bit of concern with him, missing some kicks and even kind of how LaFleur's been handling him, some sideline stuff about having the referees not signaling whether the kicks were good or bad, just to kind of keep the fans and the pundits off him a little bit. So I thought that he did very well on family night. I watched that and it was very, very good to see him build off of that, and have a good performance. I mean, your listeners, he's going to take some licks. Like, he's a rookie kicker. But from what I've heard, he's got the mental makeup to be a pretty good one in the league. So, if he can just keep kicking it straight, I think he'll be all right.
Keith?
Yeah, definitely. That was the bright spot. Preseason games, I kind of look at that first quarter. That's when majority, not all your starters, but the guys that are fighting for the second spot.
Mm-hmm.
First and second spot.
Yeah.
After that, it's kind of a
toss-up.
The Packers did have the lead for a little bit.
Yep.
With the two field goals right away. So that was promising. I was hoping to see a little more out of Jordan Love and the receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And that, especially, you know, he's very limited.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they limited, you know, like they held his hands and handcuffed. You don't want him to get hurt. But, yeah, kind of after that, it's just it's more of a scrimmage. I mean, they're throwing players out there. You know, the one thing that is kind of the Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know where that's coming from. You got a Pro Bowler, and sounds like he's wanting out of Green Bay.
Well, first of all, let's just put this to quash. The Pro Bowl is not what he used to be. It's not what he used to be.
Not,
he was an injury alternate for the Pro Bowl. Guys, the thing is that looking at what Keyshawn Nixon has done, he is acting like he is one of the best corners in the game. He is not. Let's just be real about this. He came in. There was a reason why he was cut from the Raiders back in 2022. He was brought in to return kicks. That's what he was brought in to do first time here on out. He was brought in to be a kick returner, and he was a very good kick returner. But when you saw the confidence start to become too much for him, I think it became too much for him right at around the middle of last year when everyone started thinking, okay, this guy is, you know, he's a good productive corner. You want to lock him up for the next few years, everything like that. And then he kept getting burned repeatedly towards down the stretch of the season. He got burned in Chicago a couple times. He got burned against Baltimore. He got burned against, of course, the Minnesota Vikings when that game like didn't matter. And there were a couple of times where you're wondering, where is your head at? Like, that's what's going on with Nixon. He has become... The thing is that you're willing to put up with guys that have big personalities if they perform well on the field.
Absolutely.
If they produce on the field, you can live with big personalities. Now, a lot of people will probably point to Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens was... I'll put this finally. He was arrogant as you-know-what when he was playing. But his production on the field, he let his game speak for itself. And there are times where I would just say, shut up and let your game speak for yourself. And he's a top five receiver of all time. You're not going to do that if you're a fringe starting cornerback in this league.
It is hard because cornerback is a different position. You, number one, have to have a short memory.
Yes.
And you have to be uber confident.
You do.
So,
yes.
You know, like you have to go in there, you know, if you're matching up with their number one guy. So you nailed it that his confidence is there, but the production's not. And not only that, but the effort, you know, and I think you need to have willing tacklers. And that was one thing that I really liked about Brandon Cisse's game is I think he's going to struggle a bit, at least in man-to-man coverage.
Every rookie struggles at the beginning of the season at their career.
But he, you know, that play that he made where the running back was able to cut back and it's all he's got is green grass and Brandon Cisse, and he makes the tackle and stops him short of the goal line. That's an encouraging, you know, play for Packers fans. So he's going to take his lumps, especially being a rookie. But you love the effort, and you need to have willing tacklers in the backfield.
And the other thing that you have to point to is that who's going to be your CB2? Because right now it's Carrington Valentine who has been hurt, and you also brought in Benjamin St. Juice from the Chargers. So that's secondary. Your safeties are set.
Yeah.
Like, you've got Xavier McKinney, who's been an all-pro. You've got Evan Williams, who I think has the potential to be a legit top 10 safety in this league. You need to figure out those CB spots because your safeties are not going to save you all the time.
Yeah, 100% true. And, you know, the other part of the Nixon thing is we don't see the locker room. We don't see how he is in the weight room, around the facility.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to see any of that. We only see stats and on the field, and then whatever they put out on social media when they're doing that. So, you know, for the Packers, they may see a totally different guy, and, you know, we never get to see that part of it.
Sure, right.
Well, and what I wonder is, you know, compared to other teams in the NFL, like, is he a, you know, serviceable nickel corner? Like, or is all he wants to do is play on the boundary? Because I think you have some talent in the backfield, especially with Evan Williams, you know, coming in. But I'm not sure what their rotation's going to be. But I at this point just don't know if he can play boundary corner. But then if he's playing nickel, can he come up and support the run? Which he hasn't proved that he could do either of those things.
Here's another factor that I think people are not understanding. It could very well be the new defense. Because remember, you got Jonathan Gannon in there.
Got a whole new coordinator.
Who was a defensive coordinator for the Eagles, took them to the Super Bowl back in 22. Ended up being the coach of the Arizona Cardinals. That didn't work out, clearly. But his motto for for his defense is to be aggressive and to finish plays. And right now, Nixon is not doing that. So I think that's what's going on. Because when you go from, you know, Jeff Hafley, who ended up taking the job in Miami, you go to Jonathan Gannon, you're trying to figure out, you know, two different defenses.
Sure.
You're trying to figure out two different defenses. I think that another part of it is that he's having a hard time adjusting to that.
Yeah. And
that's a great point. Yeah.
Exactly. You got a new coordinator. And anytime you get a new coordinator, they've got a vision, and he may not be in that.
No.
Well, it's funny, the name, when you said that, the name that popped into my head was Aaron Campman. Because,
yes.
I mean, throwback, but when they switched defenses, and he, you know, he had to switch, I think, from defensive end to outside linebacker or vice versa. And talented guy, Pro Bowl fringe type of guy, but
led the league in sacks in 07.
Yep, but you get a different defense, and he just got different lost vision. In it. Yeah.
I think that was when from the 4-3 to the 3-4, because that was when Dom Capers came in and essentially like revitalized that. And early on, that defense worked, because when you have a guy like Aaron Campman, you've also got Charles Woodson in your defensive backfield, it's probably going to work. But still a lot to be figured out. Obviously, there's still a couple of weeks preseason left, and we are getting very, very close to the NFL season opener well. Yes, it is. Week two of the preseason for the Packers is coming up on Friday. They're going to head to Denver to take on the Broncos. Bo Nix will be making the start for Denver. We're going to take a break. You're tuned into the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hunter Baumgarn from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin is going to join us to talk Brewers after this.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
It's game time in the Northwoods. The ATV won't start, the boat's running rough, and your UTV sounds like it just took a helmet-to-helmet hit. Don't call the timeout, call Hobbs Service Center. With over 30 years of experience and a BRP master technician, Hobbs has the lineup to keep your Northwoods toys in championship form. ATVs, UTVs, snowmobiles, boats, personal watercraft, and more. Repairs, maintenance, and seasonal service. Because nobody wants to spend the weekend sitting on the sidelines while everybody else is out riding. So when your machine throws a flag, fumbles the weekend, or just plain refuses to get off the bench, put Hobbs Service Center in the game. Call 360-5086. Hobbs Service Center, County Road L, north of Tomahawk.
This is Keith Hansey, broker associate with Northwoods Community Realty. Northwoods Community Realty is a company founded on community-focused values and premier real estate services to buyers and sellers in the entire Northwoods area. Whether you're looking for lake homes or city homes for sale, selling your property, or just want to know what your property is worth, give me a call at 966-1032. I have a deep knowledge of the area and understand our local real estate market. Give me a call, Keith Hansey, for all your real estate needs and questions at 966-1032 with Northwoods Community Realty.
Fairman Orthodontics provides professional orthodontic services to families here in the Northwoods at Riley Family Dental in Tomahawk. This is Dr. Jen from Fairman Orthodontics. We offer the best in comprehensive orthodontic treatment in a relaxed, family-friendly setting with an unmatched level of care. My dad, Dr. Dennis, and myself believe that by offering child and adult braces, straighter teeth, enhanced smiles, and better dental health, we help to improve our patients' overall confidence. To achieve the smile you've always wanted, call 359-1910 or visit our website at fairmanorthodontics.com and schedule a complimentary new patient exam with Dr. Fairman or myself, Dr. Jen. For nearly 40 years, we've been providing exceptional orthodontic care and creating beautiful smiles for every age, from our family to yours.
To the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along on this Wednesday evening. It's now time for our state interview. And joining me on the line, our good friend from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin, Hunter Baumgarn. Hunter, thank you for joining me.
Absolutely, Alex. Good to be on with you.
So, Hunter, I know that we wanted to talk about the absolute shellacking Milwaukee put on Seattle last night. But let's start back in L.A. when the Brewers, who seemingly looked you know, like they were going to struggle a bit after getting swept by San Diego. They ended up taking 3 of 4 from the Dodgers over the weekend. How were the Brewers able to respond and take care of the team that arguably has the best roster in baseball?
Yeah, that was really impressive. I mean, they were heading into that 7-game road trip out west, their second road trip out west in the last 3 weeks, and they got a pretty big, you know, team emotional win over the Twins, the final game of the homestand before. And then you kind of thought, okay, it sounds like they are going to be, you know, having some momentum heading into the West Coast, and then it just didn't happen that way. And they lose in heartbreaking fashion in the finale of that series in San Diego to get swept. And you're thinking, oh boy, this could turn into a really ugly road trip. Simply because they didn't have, you know, their guys, right? Joey Ortiz had missed some time. Obviously, mm-hmm. Cooper Pratt's been out the last 10 days. Bryce Terang missed the entire series in L.A. So it kind of seemed like it was going to set up like they were going to be, it was going to be tough to take that series or even split it. But you would have taken, I think, a split at that point, but they were able to, I think the turning point in that series was the ninth inning on Thursday night in game one, where you're down 4-2.
Yeah.
You take a 5-4 lead and you're able to win. I mean, that was huge just for the confidence of the team. Get back on the winning side of things where, you know, this team has prided itself in the last few years on never being out of a game. And I think that was obviously the epitome of that. And then they lose a close one Friday, and then they're able to, with Miz on the mound, win on Saturday, and then the close-ish game that became more of a blowout late on Sunday. But, boy, that was a really impressive series, and obviously I think gives them confidence that, you know, we can play with these guys. And, you know, we may have wanted Tarek Skubal on our side, but
right.
He's on their side, and now we have confidence that we can hit him around a little bit, and he's not just going to totally shut us down. So I think it gives them confidence in a lot of different levels. Will that play out, you know, in October? We'll see. But it was big, not only, of course, to get back on the winning side of things, take 3 of 4 heading into this Mariners series, but also you now win the season series against the Dodgers. So if the teams tie, the Dodgers and Brewers tie it with the same record at the end of the year, the Brewers will have the tiebreaker for either, you know, a bye or the one seed, home field advantage, whatever it happens to be, and that'll be key down the stretch too.
So looking at this Brewers squad, Hunter, they've had the best record in baseball pretty much since the beginning of July, if you want to go back even further, June before the All-Star break. They're currently 78-48 heading into tonight. How have they been able to keep this dominant stretch going?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been, I'd say the biggest key is their pitching. Their offense has been very up and down. Obviously, the headlines are Yelich and Contreras having a really rough, you know, July and into August. Great to see Yelich with the home run last night. Contreras has had a nice few games now. And if you can get those two hitting, I tell you, it changes the complexion of that lineup. The game changed last night. I know they scored 22 runs, but the game changed on the 3-run home run by Christian Yelich to make
yes,
it
6-0
instead of 3-0, you know, right? So that, and then that's just huge. So if you get those guys producing, your offense is going to just, it's going to take it to another level. I know people wanted maybe to get a bat at the trade deadline, and I just don't think the market was really there for that, especially for the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And where the improvement is going to come on offense is going to be from within, is from the team that is already assembled, from the guys on there. And really, honestly, the guys that are being paid like stars or expected to be stars, and, you know, an all-star in William Contreras, and obviously we all know what Christian Yelich can do. So if those guys produce, that's going to mean the world. So I think that's where they can improve. They're doing it because their starting pitching has just been so incredibly consistent. There are just so few games that those guys go out and don't give you 5-6 innings of maybe, you know, three, giving up 2 or 3 runs at most. And that is keeping you in a lot of games. Can you then score 5, you know, to win a game? Sometimes that's tough for this team, but they've done it more times than not. Obviously, they've done it, you know, 30 games over 500 heading into tonight. So I think it's the pitching. The bullpen has been pretty good overall. Trevor McGill's been outstanding. Abner Uribe is on the IL right now, but he has obviously been outstanding as well. So I'm intrigued to see what Sensatella can do as he kind of settles in more and more in Milwaukee. So I think it's the pitching is the key, but boy, the offense just gets a little better. and look out. They could even be better than they are right now, which is wild because they're the best team in ball.
Without a doubt. We're talking here with Hunter Baumgarten from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin here on the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So, Hunter, right now, let's go to last night here and quickly recap it because it was unbelievable. 22 runs, which is tied for the most runs scored by a Brewers team in franchise history. The largest shutout, tied for the largest shutout in MLB history since 1888 with Cleveland and Pittsburgh doing it. How were the Brewers able to put 22 runs on the scoreboard last night against this Mariners team?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of a bunch of things. One is the Mariners have taken quite a fall from grace.
They
were a playoff team last year, a force to be reckoned with. And then this year it's just gone south. And Cal Raleigh is a huge part of that. The guy has 60 home runs last year. He's 13 right now. And it's just a massive difference. His batting average sitting around 160. You know, last year it was way above that. His OPS has dropped from like 9-something to 5-something. I mean, that is key when you have a guy like that not doing what he's supposed to. But last night was just, you know, this is a 1-0 game heading to the bottom of the fifth inning.
Yeah.
So it's not like this was, you know, it felt like, okay, this is the Brewers again. They're going to have to win another close game. And then a 5-run fifth, and then a 5-run sixth, and then you get 2 in the seventh, and of course the 9-run eighth inning is what gets you 22, and that's all off of the position player because the Mariners had given up at that point. And of course, you know, you can argue Luis Lara hit his first career home run off of him. Does it count? You know, the Jake Bowers, Christian Yelich were telling us after the game, like, hey, every home run counts. So that definitely counts.
Yes.
But I think Luis Lara will celebrate even a little more when he hits one off of an actual pitcher in the big leagues. But that was fun. I mean, it just is one of those games where it just one guy leads to the next. And when a position player is out there, it seems like it goes one of two ways. Either it's a big inning like that, or like Gary Sanchez comes in and throws a scoreless ninth inning. So maybe, you know, he's going to threaten Trevor McGill for the closer role. We'll see. But, you know, I mean, he's thrown two scoreless innings. He's given up four hits, but he's thrown two scoreless innings. So he's tied for the best ERA in baseball, Gary Sanchez, at 0.00. So that's the fun part, right? You have 162 games, and that is the blast of it is you get a game like that sometimes. And it was really fun to be at last night.
So let's go ahead and talk about the rest of the National League here, Hunter, which is a gauntlet at this point because you've got the Dodgers who, even though they've been, you know, struggling for the last month and a half, they still have the best roster in baseball and are still the two-time defending World Series champions. Also got a couple of teams out east in Atlanta and Philadelphia that are threatening. The Cubs are threatening. But outside of the Dodgers, who do you think would be the Brewers' toughest test in the postseason?
Yeah, I think it's the Cubs, honestly. I do. I think the Cubs are kind of an underrated team. They seem to got some magic going on there in Chicago. They won the last two nights and in walk-off fashion yesterday and the night before. I think they have 13 walk-offs this season, which is just wild.
Wow.
They find a way to win, and they're a good team. There's no doubt.
They are.
I think they're better than last year for one. And number two is though, if they have a weakness, it's their pitching staff. They just have not been able to find five consistent starters that can stay healthy. And if that continues, Gausman left the game with a cramp last night. Not that that'll necessarily affect things going forward, but it's something to watch. He was their trade deadline. They're one of their trade deadline acquisitions. Got him from Toronto at the deadline. And he'll be key down the stretch for them. But their lineup is really good. PCA is, I think he's the MVP right now, as much as it pains me to say. He is just incredible. You know, he led off Monday night's game with a home run, walks it off with a home run, and then starts Tuesday night's game with a home run. Like, I just crazy. Like, another level we are seeing from him. So I think the Cubs are the second threat to I think the Dodgers are the biggest threat, but then I think the Cubs are second, and you could end up getting maybe an NLDS matchup between the Brewers and the Cubs again, depending on how things fall. Atlanta's good. I don't know if I'm not as scared, so to speak. Atlanta and Chicago have basically the same record. I'm not as scared of Atlanta. I think the Cubs are a little better than them, but we'll see Atlanta in Milwaukee this weekend for two games, and then they'll play each other in Williamsport at the Little League World Series on Sunday as well. So we'll get kind of a close-up view, and then they play Philly later in September. But yeah, so I think the NL, like you said, it's a gauntlet. The AL, the difference between the NL and the AL this year is wild.
I mean,
the leader of the AL West right now, Alex, is Houston at at 500. So, you know, like, you think about that, and three of the five NL Central teams would be in first place in the AL West. The Cardinals would be in first place in the AL West right now, but they're 13.5 games back of the Brewers. That shows you how different the NL is compared to the AL.
It's wild how this season has played out, Hunter. We're talking here with Hunter Bumgarde from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin here in the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So, Hunter, again, looking at the stretch for the rest of this week, again, the Brewers, they've got Seattle coming up, and as you mentioned, they've got Atlanta this weekend, which is going to say, I think, a lot about both teams. What does Milwaukee need to do to keep this hot stretch going?
Yeah, I think it's just getting the consistency on offense. I think their pitching is fantastic. You know, they got guys you trust, pretty much every guy that's going out there, whether it's obviously Miz. Henderson's been just amazing.
Yes, he has.
Harrison is trying to still, I think, come back from that injury a little bit, but he had a nice outing last night.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been consistent for most of the season as well. His ERA is looking mighty nice. I think Dustin May is a really underrated acquisition at the trade deadline. And, you know, I think he's had really good starts so far in a Brewers uniform, and I'm interested to see what he does tonight. I think it's going – I really think he could be – so far, if you look at, you know, some of the stats of the guys that have started who got traded for at the trade deadline, he's right up there with anybody, with Scooble and what these other guys have done. And so you love having that veteran and that experience on the mound, because the rest of the guys in that rotation are very young.
Yes.
You know, Kyle Harrison, I guess, probably the second oldest as far as most experience goes at the major league level. But, you know, Gasser's still finding his way. Shane Drouin is in the rotation as of now. I think he'll move to the bullpen pretty soon, and they'll go back to a five-man rotation, which will be Miz, Henderson, Harrison, in no particular order, but Miz, Henderson, Harrison, May, and Gasser, I think, will be your rotation down the stretch. And I love Drouin in the bullpen. Drouin's been really good in the bullpen this year.
Yes.
His ERA's been under two, so that'll be good. So I think it's just continue to pitch well, and this offense just needs to get a little better. And I think that might be what puts them over the Cubs in the NL Central, is the offense just being a little better than it has, keeping the Cubs at a safe distance. You know, if you get to like three games difference between the Brewers and the Cubs, that's when you start to, okay, let's see what's going on. But right now, 4.5 coming into tonight, you like it. And so we'll see what happens. But I think that offense is the key. Get that offense going. Cooper Pratt coming back soon is going to be big as well.
When do you think Cooper Pratt will be coming back, Hunter?
It could be, within this series. It could be very soon. You know, his rehab assignment in Appleton went well last night, so this could be very soon that Cooper Pratt is back. And look, you could say, oh, well, he doesn't even have 2 months in the big leagues, and how can he be a key? Well, the guy's hitting like 280, and so when you lose that type of bat out of your lineup, that's going to hurt your offense as well. And when you're filling in with Jonathan Ornelas or Jiwon Bae, and nothing against those guys, but they're released from teams for a reason. So it's going to be key to get Pratt back on that infield.
And the Brewers continue their three-game set with the Mariners tonight. First pitch will be at 6:40. We mentioned Dustin May. He's getting the start against the Mariners ace, Logan Gilbert. Hunter Bumgarde from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin. Hunter, thank you very much for joining me, and let's hope that the Brewers are able to make another deep run in the postseason this year.
Absolutely. Looking forward to talking as the postseason nears. Thanks, Alex.
Absolutely. Hunter Bumgarde from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin on the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll be back with more after this.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Cube on WJJQ.
This is the Worldwide News Network.
I'm Bill Rakoff. Reports say Iran is considering hitting United States military targets in Europe if the war were to escalate. This is retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral Michael Hewitt.
They have missiles. They've proven that they can reach across continents. So it's a legitimate concern. What they're trying to do is prevent the Allies from joining us in opening up the straits. And I really expect the Allies to not fall to this type of rhetoric or threat.
Iran fired missiles toward the United Arab Emirates overnight. President Trump pausing his new 50% tariffs on Canadian goods for 3 days, giving the U.S. and Canada more time to negotiate a deal. Here's News Nation's Tom Dempsey.
Canada consistently ranks as a top two trading partner with the United States, rivaled only with Mexico. And according to a USA Facts, last year, year alone, the trade between the two countries totaled $880 billion.
Those latest tariffs would impact $20 billion worth of Canadian imports. President Trump has formally nominated Dr. Heidi Overton to lead the Food and Drug Administration.
In a Truth Social post, President Trump called Overton a rock star and said she'd help deliver what he calls the most transformative health agenda in history. Overton was recently seen in the Oval Office backing up the president when he announced changes to the childhood vaccine schedule.
Mr. President, this is a historic action.
Trump says once confirmed by the Senate, Overton will work rapidly to deliver more of his priorities, including faster cures, clinical trial reforms, and lower drug prices. Stacey Lynn, Worldwide News Network, Washington.
Meta's landmark child safety trial in California continues today with a former Meta engineer on the stand.
He claims the company ignored internal research on the harm its platforms can cause children and teens. And he also says he flagged his concerns about the platform's impact on young users to Meta leadership.
News Nation's Marky Martin. The judge who presided over the murder trial of Texas teen Carmelo Anthony has been removed from the case as Anthony seeks a new trial and appeals his conviction. Here's legal analyst Lori Levinson.
There's going to be quite a controversy over whether the initial judge was overly strict and unfair as to how he ran the trial, and so to have him preside over his own actions is not appropriate.
Anthony was convicted in the stabbing death of 17-year-old Austin Metcalf at a high school track meet and sentenced to 35 years in prison. Seven people, including Americans, killed today when the tourist helicopter they were flying in crashed in Kenya. The State Department spokesperson said five Americans are among the dead. Target posting strong second quarter earnings today, boosted by a 3.8% jump in sales and a nearly billion-dollar tariff refund. On Wall Street at the close, it was a good day for the markets. The Dow up marginally, up 119 points. The S&P up 16. And the NASDAQ finished today up just 41 points. This is the Worldwide News Network.
August is National Immunization Awareness Month.
This National Immunization Month, take a moment to invest in your health. Vaccines help protect individuals, families, and communities by reducing the spread of preventable diseases. Whether you're preparing children for school, caring for aging parents, or simply keeping yourself healthy, staying up to date on recommended immunizations is an important step. Healthy living doesn't stop there. Eat a variety of nutritious foods, stay hydrated, exercise regularly, get plenty of sleep, and make time for routine medical and dental checkups. Practice good hygiene by washing your hands often and covering coughs and sneezes. If you have questions about vaccines or preventative care, your healthcare provider can help you make informed decisions based on your age and health needs. This National Immunization Month, make prevention a priority and help build a healthier community for everyone.
Shares of Neutrogena's parent company fell yesterday as fans of the late Hayden Panettiere called for a boycott.
The backlash was swift as grieving fans listened to Panettiere's last interview. In it, she talks about an appearance on the Kelly and Michael show where she openly discussed her postpartum depression to some unexpected consequences.
Neutrogena wanted to fire me over that, and my representative at the time said, that's illegal.
Fans now vowing to never buy their products again, writing thousands of negative comments on Neutrogena's social media pages like, quote, for a product geared towards women, they don't seem to support women. Cooper Lawrence, Worldwide News Network.
Two Ukrainian men have been arrested in Croatia for the undersea explosions that damaged the Nord Stream gas pipelines between Russia and Germany in 2022. Those explosions occurred as European countries were trying to wean themselves off of Russian oil months after Russia invaded Ukraine. Bill Rakoff, Worldwide News Network, New York.
This is the Red Apple Entertainment Report on Red Apple Audio Networks.
Here's what happens when you're Matt Damon and your movie The Odyssey starts breaking records. Fans want more, so they do a deep dive into your past, and then those clips go viral. Like this one where Damon talked about what he bought with his Goodwill Hunting paycheck.
I remember going to Calvin Klein and buying like 20 pairs of boxer briefs.
But it was what happened next that he knew he really made it.
A salesperson came running out and was insisting that she give them to me. I said, no, you don't understand. I really need to buy these. This is a rite of passage for me.
And if the internet is digging into Damon's life, it's not such a far leap to see what Ben Affleck was doing 5 years ago. Here's what he told Howard Stern about his addiction.
The cure for addiction is suffering.
The two friends have a production company, but none of their films have had the success that comes anywhere close to The Odyssey.
Cooper Lawrence, Entertainment News, Worldwide News Network, New York.
This is the Red Apple Entertainment Report on Red Apple Audio Networks.
And a very good Wednesday evening. Thanks for joining us on the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook back with you, along with Keith Hansey and Aaron Neiman. Thanks for joining us here on this wonderful evening. 6:08 is our time. 76 degrees is our temperature under partly cloudy skies for today. Thank you very much also to Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin for joining us on the show. We're going to chat with New Hatchet volleyball coach Casey Holt coming up after your weather forecast.
Does your UTV or ATV have a hitch in its giddy up? Do you need your fall service before the hunting season begins? Or new tires to get through the woods with ease? Call Hobbs Service Center, your local UTV ATV service provider with over 30 years of experience. The team at Hobbs Service Center will get you back up and running in no time. Call Hobbs Service Center to keep your machines in tip-top shape. Hobbs Service Center, 360-5086, and located on County Road L north of Tomahawk. It's Hobbs Service Center.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. 44 tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the east, around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow, highs around 78, a blend of clouds and sun. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, it's 76 degrees.
Incredible Bank sends out their best wishes for a successful season to our Hatchet student athletes, their coaches and staffs, both on and off the field. And make sure you listen for the incredible play of the game. Remember, Incredible Bank is here to help you succeed by offering banking products to best fit your needs. From a simple checking account, mobile banking, savings, and complete that dream of a home with a variety of mortgage products. Incredible Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender, and proud sponsor of our Hatchets.
Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods.
Let's go now!
Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome back to the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It's now time for our first local interview of the day, and we have a special guest joining us. We have New Hatchet volleyball coach Casey Holt coming to the show. Casey, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
So, coach, you're taking over for Keith Hansey, obviously. Why don't you start off by telling myself and the Tomahawk community just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I graduated from Merrill High School in 2010, and kind of how I got into coaching was an interesting path. I was not a standout volleyball player in high school by any means. There were a lot of people that were better than I, but I loved the game. And we had an opportunity as players to coach the youth. Mm-hmm. We had a program called Junior Jays, and I fell in love with it. And my coach at the time had said, you know, Casey, you might have a future in this, you know, just your volleyball IQ and your love for the game. And then fast forward to my senior year, my coach actually passed away the night after senior night unexpectedly. Mm. So as you can imagine, that rocked our world and was definitely traumatic. But I really wanted to take that experience and live up to what she had said to me.
Of course.
And when I went to college in Eau Claire, mm-hmm. and then I received my master's from UW-Stout, and I lived in Eau Claire the whole time. And I started coaching for Altoona.
Okay.
And which was an amazing experience under Alyssa Upward. And we ended up going to the state for the first time in 30 years.
Well, there
we actually
you go.
Played Tomahawk.
Is that right?
Yep. So it's just it's a small world how everything comes back. That's when Anna Nyberg was really big. So that was a really cool experience for me as a young coach. I learned a lot. And then I moved back here to Merrill, to the area, and was a high school counselor for 10 years. And studied under Chris Krug, mm-hmm. who was a longtime Merrill volleyball coach, very successful. We also went to state my first couple of years there as well. And then I also coached club through Wisconsin Ice with very successful coaches like Dawn Sadowska from Marshfield, Betty Lang from Wausau Newman. So just a really a background with really, you know, coaches that have a lot of experience, and I'm very thankful for that. And that's kind of my coaching background and how I got to be where I am. And then now I was ready for a challenge this spring, and I took the middle school counseling job at Tomahawk, and the head coach job just happened to be open, and everything kind of fell into place.
Wow, very descriptive. Well done. So you spent 3 years as the head coach down in Merrill, your alma mater. What did you learn the most about that particular role to get you ready for coaching up here?
I think, like I just said, coaching with those coaches before me, I was able to learn a lot and pick up and just be a sponge. I think, you know, your first year, you don't know what you don't know. And
right.
It's you can get away with quite a bit because you're new. Second year is kind of the same thing, but your third year, you really need to lock in. And that's when, you know, you start learning from your mistakes. And I think that having that experience in Merrill really is, I feel very confident going into my fourth year as a head coach at Tomahawk.
And we're talking here with Hatchet volleyball coach Casey Holt here on the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coach, obviously there's every single coach that has like a different philosophy or a different style of how to approach high school kids. Give me yours.
It's pretty simple. It's to beat yesterday. So if, you know, yesterday's best comes from today's starting line, if you're always, you know, aiming to beat yesterday, you're only going to keep growing. So
without a doubt. So let's go ahead and take a look back at your time in Merrill really quickly. Mm-hmm. Before Merrill came back to the GNC, they were in the Wisconsin Valley, which is a tough conference in
Absolutely.
Of itself.
Mm-hmm.
What was the toughest part about competing in the WVC from your estimation?
Merrill was always the smallest. And I mean, at some point we were D1 and then we got moved down to D2, and that's a tough, the Valley is a very difficult conference.
Yes,
I mean,
you've
got Spash, Everest, at one point East, you know, those are very successful schools that have all had playoff runs, but Merrill was always competitive. And I truly feel that Tomahawk is in a very similar situation in the GNC. We are the smallest school here as well. And I think, you know, you build a strong competitive conference schedule to prepare you for playoffs.
And we're talking here with new Hatchet volleyball coach Casey Holt on the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So, Coach, let's talk about the squad specifically. Mm-hmm. You're taking over a team that graduated a lot of seniors, very senior-heavy class.
Yep.
You've got a lot. You do have some key players coming back, though. We mentioned off air, you know, you've got Avery Petta coming back. Mm-hmm. You've got Shelby Borowski, your setter, coming back. What are a couple of goals that you have set for your first year?
I have high expectations.
Really?
They're a young team, but there is so much potential. It's a blast to be with them in the gym, and we're going to do good things. I'm excited.
Let's genuinely hope so. What have you learned about your team through the first couple of practices you've had this week?
Well, we're going into day three, so it's been, you know, not a whole lot in the gym yet, but these kids, they're ready to compete. And when you're young, again, it's kind of one of those things, like, you don't know what you don't know, and they just go out there and play, and they're a really great group of girls.
Give me a couple of underclass women that you think could take a big step forward this year, Coach.
Mm-hmm. I would say the biggest one for me is going to be Lauren Reby. She is a sophomore. That girl can jump out of the gym. She lives on Takis and Alani, and I don't know how she does it, but she, like I said, she can jump out of the gym. She's got a great attitude. Sophie, Josie, Lexi Palmer is one of my freshmen. It's a larger squad. I took 14 girls, but I really do believe that we've got a lot of good things coming.
And we're talking here with new Hatchet volleyball coach Casey Holt on the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coach, you got your first scrimmage coming up back at your alma mater, Merrill, this Saturday. It's ironic how this works, doesn't it?
I know, it's a small world.
What are you going to be looking for in your first live action this weekend?
It's really just scrimmage or lineup work. We have not had all of the girls in the gym. It was a busy summer for them. These are multi-sport athletes that are playing softball and, you know, other sports. So it's going to be getting a set lineup down and just really starting to fine tune those skills.
Coach, any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
I don't think so. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tomahawks volleyball scrimmage is Saturday in Merrill. The Hatchets will also see Antigo and Rib Lake down there. Mm-hmm. Tomahawks first matches will be next Friday and Saturday at their tournament in the Wisconsin Dells. New Hatchet volleyball coach Casey Holt. Coach, welcome to Tomahawk and thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, we're going to take a break. Be back with more of the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q right after this here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Not over yet, Hatchet!
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to Hobbs Service Center Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Subway of Tomahawk is a proud sponsor of the Tomahawk Hatchets. Fuel up before or after the game with fresh subs, crisp salads, and of course, one of our famous cookies for your sweet tooth. Planning a team get-together or family celebration? Let Subway make it easy with catering. Just give us a call or use the Subway mobile app for easy ordering and we'll handle the rest. We're proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets and help to keep our community and local athletes fueled and ready for victory.
Hobbs Service Center, your local stop for Lakeview Docks, a premier Wisconsin boat dock accessory, and boat dock wheel kit supplier. Lakeview Docks offer more than just good looks. They're built for stability, durability, and flexibility. Stop in at Hobbs Service Center to see what Lakeview Dock will enhance your lakefront property. Give Hobbs Service Center a call, 360-5086. Located on County Road L, just north of Tomahawk, it's Hobbs Service Center.
Welcome back to the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Keith Hansey, and Aaron Neiman back here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. I could headbang to Metallica all day long. So thank you very much, by the way, to Hatchet Volleyball Coach Casey Holt for joining us on the show. Keith, you had the opportunity to get to know her over the last couple of years, coaching against Merrill and then also coaching club. Yeah. What's your overall synopsis of her?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what she does with the team. She is super positive. She coached, actually, my daughter Maddie in the 18 Nationals.
Is that right?
With Betty from Wausau Newman. That was a spectacular team. There was 10 girls, and all 10 girls were committed to play college volleyball.
Wow.
We went all over the country and won a lot of tournaments.
That's really good.
It was a lot of fun.
Very excited to see what this team has in store this year.
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot to look forward to. We've got a lot of football action to look forward to as well on top of volleyball. And speaking of which, I think it's time to take a look at the Badger football schedule. What do you think, guys?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it.
Darion Dupree, 15-20. Dupree, 25, breaks the tackle, 30. 35-40. Darion Dupree to the 50. In the clear, 40. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Wisconsin. Darion Dupree, 84 yards. Darion Dupree takes the snap, running behind Aker off the right side. Dupree to the end zone. Touchdown, Wisconsin. Little Wildcat action. The Badgers lead 23-10 with 8:16 remaining.
A lot of unknowns about this Badger football team this year. Specifically, where is this team going to be, especially with Luke Fickell now entering his fourth season at the helm? Take a look really quickly at the Badger football schedule for 2026. They will be opening up their season against number 4 Notre Dame at Lambeau Field on September 6th. That's going to be a very intriguing matchup right off the bat. Their other two non-conference games are Western Illinois and Eastern Michigan. Follow that up at Penn State. Michigan State at home, they've got a week 6 bye, and then at UCLA against number 20 USC, at number 19 Iowa for the Heartland Trophy on Halloween Day. Halloween Day. Rutgers week 10, at Maryland week 11, at Purdue week 12, and then the end in a battle for the axe against Minnesota week 13. Keith, I'll start with you here. What's your expectations for the Badgers this upcoming season?
I would love to see them have an actual identity. Because, you know, they when Luke Fickell came in, they went to the, you know, the
air raid
offense. They were going to do that. They got away from what Wisconsin's done for 100 years has been a running team, you know, and to try and take that and change it. And then last year we kind of saw him going back to the run. So I just want to see him come out, play a full season. If they're going to be the air raid, then be the air raid. Or if you're going to be a running team, go run it.
I'll tell you one thing that's actually been nice about the whole NIL experience is that you know, if he recruited kids to be air raid kids
right.
and it didn't
this,
work,
they got to be there.
But then wash your hands.
Yep.
Those have those kids go someplace else. Yes. Bring in yeah. guys that can
bring
that can
the
move
beef.
The pile. Yeah.
yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and at least you have the opportunity to do that. So hopefully, I agree with you. I think it's I think you got to get back to running the football, and that's what we want. And hopefully, they can produce.
Well, looking at this season, guys. I think the biggest thing for Wisconsin, and this is not necessarily Fickell's fault, this is the hand that he's been dealt. Every single year he has been at the helm for Wisconsin, they've had injuries to their starting quarterback.
Yeah. yeah.
And that's
and right away.
And right away too. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. when you're running an air raid offense, you gotta not have you gotta have a smart quarterback. I actually yeah. was one of the books that I read over the summer, yes, I am reading. I know you're surprised by that, Keith, aren't you?
No, I can't read or write. So that's, I'm just amazed.
Well, what I know I am too. One of the books that I read was The Origins of the Air Raid Offense, and it goes back to the days of Hal Mumme. He started out at Iowa Wesleyan, which is now closed down in Mount Pleasant. He went to Valdosta State before becoming the head coach at Kentucky. So he was the one that coached Tim Couch to be the number one overall pick mm-hmm. after being in the SEC. What the one thing that they always talked about is that your quarterback has to be quick and decisive. And I thought Mordecai was decisive because when you're running the run and shoot, you've got to be
yeah.
you got to be very decisive.
Sure.
When you're running an air raid offense, it's got to be the same way. That's why we've seen it succeed. By the way, Mumme, in case you don't know, he actually ended up one of his assistants was Mike Leach, who ended up becoming
sure.
one of the original
yep.
architects of the air raid, who had a great coaching career at Texas Tech
yep.
and Washington State. One of the things that you have to do with an air raid offense is that you got to have receivers and a quarterback that knows their routes. You only run a specific amount of plays, but you have to be sure to simplify it down. And it didn't work. For whatever reason, it didn't work because you tried Tanner Mordecai,
mm-hmm.
you tried Alex Van Dyke from Miami, and I was high on him coming out of Miami. That didn't work. You know, it's just you had so many, I guess you could say, bad luck, so much bad luck at
yeah.
that particular position. Now you bring in Colton Joseph, who is, you know, a dual threat guy from Old Dominion, supposed to, you know, help Wisconsin turn back the clock a little bit, get back to running the football, get back to what they know to do best. And I hope that this is going to be a transition year for Wisconsin.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's hard because I don't know how long Luke Fickell's leash is. But I do think that if he can get through this year, his 2027 recruiting class is very, very good.
That's true.
A lot of in-state talent, you know, that's going to that team. So they've been able to flip kids, you know, and invest in the program. But I think, you know, if they can get to the bye at, I wrote down, if they can get to the bye at like 3-2, I think that they're doing pretty good. But, I mean, as far as my expectations for the season, I think if they're bowl eligible, if they get 6 wins, that's
yeah.
probably pretty good for them.
Here's,
go ahead, Alex.
All right. Here's what I was going to say. The one thing that you can't do is that you can't fall flat on your face right off the gate.
Yeah.
Now again, I'm not saying that you can't, that if you lose to Notre Dame, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
Correct.
As long as it's competitive.
Yep.
But if you lose to Eastern Michigan or Western Illinois, then the sky's falling.
I agree.
Let's be
yeah.
real about that. Aaron, continue.
Yep. Well, and both those games are home. So, yeah, I think you have to show improvement. You have to show toughness those first couple of games of the year. But again, if they're 2-3 or they lose one of those games to Western Illinois or Eastern Michigan, then I think people start raising the panic flag. And I think the back end of their schedule is very favorable. After the bye at UCLA is going to be tough. You know, that's a lot of travel. USC and Iowa, I think they lose both those games. But I think if they can get to the back end of their schedule, like Rutgers, Maryland, Purdue, Minnesota, those are
right.
all winnable games for them. So I think people need to be patient. And the fact that they play Notre Dame, the fourth-ranked team in the country
right.
first, is probably going to turn a lot of people off. But maybe we just need to sit there and enjoy two historical college teams playing at Lambeau Field, you know.
Right.
Well, here's the other thing I will point out, though. I'm going to go back to this here. I remember this was, what, 2016, when LSU,
yeah.
who was ranked fifth in the country at the time,
yep.
came to Lambeau Field, and Wisconsin was unranked at the time. Not a lot was expected out of them. And Wisconsin ended up gritting their way to a victory.
Mm-hmm.
And that was essentially the beginning of what became the Paul Chryst era, you know,
yeah.
where he was probably the closest coach that Wisconsin would get to a national championship, at least in my lifetime.
Right.
And that LSU team, was loaded. They had Jamal Adams. Oh, they had Tre'Davious White in the secondary. They had Leonard Fournette, who was probably the best college running back in the nation at that time. You know, they were a little bit hampered at the QB position, but they were still a top five team in the preseason for a reason. And Wisconsin found a way to get a victory regardless of, you know, turning the ball over. Bart Houston, I think, had three turnovers in that game, and they ultimately led to all 14 of LSU's points. So there is a possibility that Wisconsin could play that card.
Yeah.
Now you look at the rest of the schedule. Penn State to me is interesting because you're coming off a season where you woefully underachieved. You fired your head coach midway through the season. I don't know what to make of Penn State this year. That's going to be tough. Michigan State is in Big Ten, I guess you could say hell, if that's what it is, or purgatory, if you want to say
it. Nice way of putting it.
It is a nice way of putting it, yes. At UCLA, I agree, that'll probably be tough. The road trip itself is going to be brutal.
Yeah. Yep.
USC, I think that could be a very intriguing game as well, depending on how the Trojans do, especially at their quarterback position. At Iowa on Halloween night scares that's the absolute living you-know-what out of me. That's one of the toughest places to play in the Big Ten.
Other than the fact that Luke Fickell, he's got to have a chip on his shoulder with Iowa.
To. Like, yes.
If any game, if there's a game that you mark on the calendar, it's got to be that one just because of the poor effort that they put against him last year.
The last 2 years,
Yeah, the
too.
Last 2 years.
Because they got the brakes blown off of them on national television two years ago, and then they got the brakes blown off of them at Camp Randall last year.
Right.
Like, you can't get blown out by Iowa for the third straight year. No. That cannot happen.
No.
And honestly, if you get blown out by Iowa, that may warrant, you know, fans saying fire Fickell into the sun if it ends up getting to this case. But if they do not reach a bowl game this year, I think you have to let Fickell go. And
we got a new AD.
Yes.
So when you get a new AD in there.
Yes.
He can easily say, well, that's not my guy. I didn't pick him.
Right.
So I think it's a little bit easier to let Fickell go with a new AD.
I think that's fair, too. If you want me to be real, I'm an internal optimist. I see a 9-3 record this year.
I put 7-5. Not as optimistic as you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So the one thing, again, Penn State is the one that's intriguing to me because I have no idea where they're going to be. And then the other one that I've got, I have a hard time picking them in Iowa on primetime television. Halloween in Iowa is a recipe for disaster.
But you know, I'm a big vibes guy, and everything that we've heard, and granted it's his team, and you know, he's not gonna talk bad about his team and everything's gonna be positive, but I just feel like the vibes coming from Madison have been good. Mm-hmm. I think he's put a lot of onus on his young leaders. Like, it seemed like the last half of the year,
things
changed.
They played a couple of top 25 upsets.
They upset
Washington and Illinois at home in the second half of the season.
And so I think if you get the right people in the right position in those for those players to lead that team, maybe that's what he's looking for. And hopefully we can see that kind of transition to the field.
Let's hope so. Keith, final thoughts.
I'm excited to get that season going, and hopefully they can recreate that magic at Lambeau when they beat LSU.
So, again, in case you're wondering why this game is being held at Lambeau Field, I'll give everyone just a quick synopsis.
Money.
Well, it's a few years late.
It's this year, but here's the reason why. The reason why they're doing this is because back in, I think it was the mid-2010s, they agreed to have a home-and-home series where Wisconsin would play at Lambeau Field and where they would play one game at Lambeau Field and one game at Soldier Field down in Chicago. Well, they played the game at Soldier Field down in Chicago back in 21. They were supposed to have it at Lambeau in 2020, but of course, the world turned into a pandemic. Yeah. That's the reason why they moved it to 2026. And it's so far back because Wisconsin had already figured out the opponents for the next 5 years. So that's the reason why we're at Wisconsin playing at Lambeau Field against Notre Dame. Opening night kickoff for that game will be at 6:30, and I will be in attendance for that game.
Lucky?
Yeah, good for you. I guess so. You could call me lucky, I guess. You're tuned into the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll check your Northwoods weather forecast, and after that, Hatchet football coach Dewey Riley will join the show to preview Tomahawks Week 1 showdown with Luther. That's next.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Shurl Tire and Auto Service in Tomahawk is proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets. We're your go-to choice for top-quality automotive service and the best prices on Goodyear tires. We're the home of free tire repair. Bring in your auto or light truck flat tire, and we'll fix it at no charge. You can count on Shurl Tire and Auto Service to keep you rolling on and off the field. We're proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets and help to keep our community moving forward and on the road to victory. Visit us at SherrillTire.com.
Get your car done right.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. 44 tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the east, around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow, highs around 78, a blend of clouds and sun. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, it's 76 degrees.
The colors will be changing in the Northwoods soon, making it time to schedule your boat winterization. Shrink wrap and safe storage at Hobbs Service Center. Don't forget to call to schedule your dock and lift removal by your local, fully insured barge service provider, Hobbs Service Center. Let the professionals handle the heavy lifting. Hobbs Service Center, over 35 years of service to the Tomahawk area. Take care of fall the smart way. Call Hobbs Service Center at 360-5086, Kanye Road L, north of Tomahawk. It's Hobbs Service Center.
Welcome back to the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Currently joining me on the line is Hatchet football coach Dewey Riley once again. Coach, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
So, Coach, this is the first time we've been able to talk, really, since your scrimmage with Colby Ashland and McDonald Central Catholic. Give me a quick recap. How did your team look in the first live action?
I think it was fairly typical for a scrimmage. When you look at kind of kids being excited, you know, energy's up, you know, maybe a little bit too quick in their reads, it was fairly typical of what we see. It's always a good barometer for us of where we at conditioning wise, because you just run play after play after play. Mm-hmm. And our kids handled that very well. So I think, you know, from a physical standpoint, we're where we need to be. From a mental standpoint, I think that there's still some things to clean up, not just on the player's end, but from the coach's end as well. And I think that, you know, it's going to be a process these first couple of weeks with non-conference games to, you know, truly kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Well, you've got 3 weeks of practice under your belt at this point. Looking at this particular squad, what do you think is the biggest strength and weakness of this team?
I think the biggest strength is the character of the kids. It's a really good group of kids, and they're fun to be around. They're fun to coach. I think the weakness is right now we lack a little bit of leadership as far as these kids are all, you know, they're all kind of in the mix. They're all kind of the same. And we need, you know, a couple of these guys to truly step up and kind of become the, you know, the player coach that good teams need. You know, we always talk about, you know, coach-led teams do fine, player-led teams do really good. And so, you know, as we've, you know, lost a couple kids through graduation, injury, and whatever, we need a couple other guys to have that next man up mentality and embrace that leadership role.
And talking here with Hatchet football coach Dewey Riley here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So, Coach, looking at this roster, you're replacing seven starters plus from last year on both sides of the ball. What is going to be the hardest part about replacing the athletes you had last season?
I think it's just the fact that, you know, those kids that we lost, you know, be it they were, you know, they were good for high school, be it physically, mentally, athletically, you know, in a school our size, you just don't recycle those kids. You know, it's not like they graduate and they come back. It's not like you've got 30 of them running around the halls of the high school. And so, you know, for us, it's always a matter of, you know, if we lose one person, we have to rob Peter to pay Paul. And so I think from a player perspective, we need guys that maybe were a second or third string guy last year to embrace the role that, hey, you're starting this year, mm-hmm. which means you have to bring a starter's mentality. You have to know your assignments. You have to know where your buddy lines up. And then you have to know how those things fit together. And I think that's where we're, you know, we still have some room for improvement with that as far as guys truly embracing the fact that, hey, I am the starting whatever this year. We need to go.
So, Coach, looking at this particular turnover, if you will, especially on the lines, give me a few players that you think are going to take a big step forward this season.
When I look at it, I mean, you're going to see a lot of new faces. I think we have four guys that have, you know, truly played in a varsity game. And so, you know, we're going to be looking to a Colin Black to take over quarterback and corner role. You know, kind of an underrated guy who's been performing for years has been Lucas Herring. He doesn't really say much, but he performs big on Friday nights. And so, again, you're going to see him at both kind of an end rush and a tight end position. One guy that's really stood out in camp this year has been Miles McGowan, who has not had a lot of varsity experience.
Okay.
Worked out really hard over the summer. You could tell he definitely physically improved, but came in with kind of a, you know, a lunchbox mentality and has been doing great on both sides of the ball. I think, you know, some guys that, you know, we know about, you know, the Max Larsons, things like that, I think are going to, not going to, we have to have him step up and perform. And then kind of across the board on the line, it's basically a brand new line.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're going to see a Connor Germano, a Teddy Fredrickson, a Colton McMeekin, a Zach Helverson, and a Tanner Wanta, who this will be the kind of their first true, you know, goal with varsity football. And so there'll be a little bit of a learning curve, but I think we'll be better in October than we were in August.
And we're talking here with Hatchet football coach Dewey Riley here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So, Coach, obviously, as we mentioned before, this is a completely new team from last year. Give me a couple of goals that you have set for this year.
Looking at, you know, last year's performance and last year's team, I think that the biggest goal for everybody is, you know, I hope that we enjoyed that and it's time to move on. This is a new team with a new season, and the goal every week is to go 1-0, and I need guys to embrace that type of mentality. I need guys to basically work, rinse, repeat inside the game, where if you have a bad play, shake it off and we move on. That is kind of the fundamental goal and, you know, philosophy that we need week in and week out, because it's a long season. And so we can't be looking at the end, thinking about playoffs and everything else if we don't take care of what's in front of us first.
Right.
And so for us, you know, we had all conference guys last year, all region, all whatevers, and that's great. That's done. You know, this is a new team and this is our team. And so we have to embrace that, and we have to focus on what's in front of us and get a little bit better every day in practice so that we can be a little bit better every Friday.
Well, let's go ahead and focus on your first opponent then of the season. You've got the Luther Knights coming into town, located out of Onalaska in the Coulee Conference. Don't know if you've had the opportunity to look at film on this particular squad. What is your overall synopsis of this team?
I think that they're on the uptick. You know, it's a school size similar to us. You can tell that they play with some energy. They play with some grit, and I like what they do. I think that it's going to be kind of a, you know, a ball control type of game that will come down to, you know, defense and taking advantage on offense and probably some special teams. And so for us, we have to be disciplined in the fact that, you know, they can be explosive at times. They've got some pretty decent skill set guys. We have to be able to make sure that we stay fundamentally sound on the defensive side of the ball and not give up big plays. And, you know, they're going to give us a lot of different looks, but run a lot of similar plays. And so, you know, it's nothing that we haven't seen before. We just have to, you know, kind of see the forest for the trees and stay disciplined.
Coach, any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
Just excited to get the season going. Hope everybody comes out and supports us like they have in the past. We truly appreciate it. We also just wrapped up our football fundraiser, and you know, it was amazing the amount of support that the community gave us, and knowing that, you know, that support basically funds us for the year so that these kids feel like they're a first-class operation. And you know, can put their best foot forward on Fridays.
And Tomahawk opens up the 2026 season at Hatchet Field against the Luther Knights. Kickoff is at 6 o'clock. Keith Hansey will join me in the broadcast booth. Hatchet football coach Dewey Riley. Coach, thank you very much for joining me, and good luck this season.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, we're going to take a break. Be back with more of the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q coming up on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Are you looking to sell your home?
Or maybe you're looking for the home of your dreams. We are experienced real estate agents and would be happy to help you buy or sell your home.
Or answer any of your real estate related questions. I'm Matt Tyler. Please give me a call at 715-490-1820.
And I'm John Long. You can reach me at 715-966-2251.
Wild Rivers Group Real Estate of Tomahawk, serving the entire Northwoods area. Look us up on the web at wildriversgroup.com.
Or stop in and see us at 1414 North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Wild Rivers Group Real Estate, expert caring guidance every step you take.
Hello, Tomahawk. This is Master Electrician Ricky Mayer from Mayer Electric Incorporated. I am a second-generation electrical contractor. I would like to take this time to wish our student athletes, coaches, and managers good luck this season. As a former THS graduate, athlete, and coach, I know it takes hard work and attention to detail to be successful. We at Mayer Electric strive for that same hard work and attention to detail while working for you. So if you'd like a free estimate on some upcoming work you need done, give me a call at 453-2062. That's 453-2062. Go get them hatchets, and always remember, when you need electrical work done, to be picky and call Ricky.
It's game time, then the North wins. The ATV won't start, the boat's running rough, and your UTV sounds like it just took a helmet-to-helmet hit. Don't call the timeout, call Hobbs Service Center. With over 30 years of experience and a BRP master technician, Hobbs has the lineup to keep your Northwoods toys in championship form. ATVs, UTVs, snowmobiles, boats, personal watercraft, and more. Repairs, maintenance, and seasonal service. Because nobody wants to spend the weekend sitting on the sidelines while everybody else is out riding. So when your machine throws a flag, fumbles the weekend, or just plain refuses to get off the bench, put Hobbs Service Center in the game. Call 360-5086. Hobbs Service Center, County Road L, north of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook back here with you along with Keith Hansey and Aaron Neiman. Thank you very much to football coach Dewey Riley for joining me on the show today. Both of us are going to be in attendance for week one coming up on Friday. Keith is actually going to be in the broadcast booth with me this Friday night.
Yes.
Keith is
excited.
I'm just going to say this right off the bat in case you've been living under a rock. Keith has been doing so many sports for me ever since I started because he's done football. He's done volleyball, he's done basketball, he's done hockey, and he's done baseball.
Yeah.
He's done five since I took over here with me. So he has always been a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Working with me. Keith, this is the first time you're going to be back in the football booth in a while.
It's been a couple years.
It has been a couple of years, yeah, because
so it'll be good. I'll Google where it's at. I'll find it.
I'm more concerned about the road game you'd be doing midway through the season. But Tomahawk taking on Luther Friday night. I know that Aaron's kid Henry is going to be playing as a tight end as well there. Let's take a look at the week one Northwoods football schedule, shall we?
We shall.
Let's go ahead and start off with the 8-player schedule. That's coming up on Thursday. These are the three games on Thursday. Schwamigan will be hosting Bruce. Phillips will be hosting Gilman, and Riblake will be hosting Cornell at home. Then coming up on Friday, Athens will be in Niagara. Florence heads out to Three Lakes Phelps. Prentice is at Mellon. Butternut Mercer. Butternut Mercer co-oping with Mellon this year. And Leona Wabena will be at Lena St. Thomas Aquinas. On Saturday, it'll be Elko White Lake at Goodman Pembine. That gets underway at 1 o'clock. Now, let's go to the 11 players. Specifically, we'll start with the GNC. Tomahawk will be hosting Luther again. Fairman Orthodontics kickoff cabin will begin at 5:15 and kickoff will be at 6 o'clock. Keith Hansey will join me in the broadcast booth. Other GNC matchups,
intriguing one to start off, Northland Pines, who was a team that was on the come up last season. They've got Anago, new head coach Dan Whitman, who was the coach of Crandon, and essentially turned them into a playoff team over the last few years. Very curious to see what he does with that program. Lakeland, they will be traveling out to Hayward for their week one showdown. That'll begin at 7. Medford, they are going to a traditional West Coast powerhouse. That is Holman. That'll begin at 7. Merrill will be hosting La Crosse Central, who's, again, a very good program. That begins at 7 as well. And then probably the game of the night in the GNC, or really in the area, Mosinee headed to Stratford. That begins at 7 o'clock. Stratford knocked Tomahawk out of the playoffs last year. They have won a couple of state championships. They got bumped up to Division 4 because of the competitive balance factor. So they have gone up two divisions each of the last 6 years. It's fascinating to see where Stratford is.
Didn't Mosinee beat Stratford last year?
I believe
right?
they did,
yeah,
yes.
The first game of the year.
Yeah, they did. This, because Stratford got out to a shaky start. They were down three running backs, actually, to begin the season.
Yeah, and that's right.
That's how Mosinee was able to pull it out. Rhinelander will be hosting Ashland in rematch last year. Rhinelander lost to them in overtime. Wausau East will be hosting Shawano, another respectable program. Crandon, meanwhile, in the Northwoods Conference, will be heading out to Nakusa to take on the Papermakers, and Abbotsford heads down to Marquesan. So, Keith, Aaron, both of you are going to be watching football throughout the course of the season this year. Keith, I'll start with you. How do you see the GNC shaping up?
Well, there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of new coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I think Medford being as steady, I think Medford's probably going to be at the top of the GNC.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from second to fourth, in my opinion, is wide open.
Yeah.
Well,
second to seventh is wide open, to be honest with you. Aaron?
Yeah, I think that that Keith nailed it. I mean, you look at Anago, new head coach. You look at Mosinee, new head coach. And you look at Medford, new head coach. So both Mosinee and Medford, I think, had the target on their back. But coaching is hard, you know.
Yes,
and
it is.
Especially these guys that have been assistants, like when you start taking on that role as a head coach, like it's a completely different ball game. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how those three teams, you know, specifically, you know, handle that. And and it's, you know, early in the season they might take some lumps, but it's wide open.
I
mean, it really is, you know. And Tomahawk's got a talented team, and you know, I still think that they can compete with anybody. And it's going to just be interesting once the pads come on.
So, question for you guys, because you guys have both been coaches. Aaron, you and Keith have also been parents of athletes. How tough is it for a team to adjust from one coach to the next?
In my opinion, it does take a little bit, because each team has their own coaching style or coach. They have their own philosophy, their own style. So, and it depends on where that kid is in their high school career.
Right.
Freshmen, not a big deal. They're learning it. Seniors, it's probably a little more hard to adapt to a new coaching style, especially in football, where you can totally change the offense, change the defense.
Yeah, yeah.
The good thing that Tomahawk has, I'll say, you know, Dewey's been here for a couple of years now.
Yes.
All these kids, a lot of them knew him from middle school, too, coming up. Same philosophy. You had Tunner coming up. So I think it'll be easier for Tomahawk to transition to a new quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're going to see a lot of growth in the first four games.
Yeah, I would say so.
I don't think we're going to see it right away, because we have a quarterback that's learning a whole new position.
Right.
I'll say this. We'll see him grow leaps and bounds as the season progresses, but it may start out a little slow.
Yeah, it will. Aaron?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, you always hear, you know, why a coach ends up leaving or why a coach ends up getting fired. And a lot of times it's just basically their message gets stale. So for a new coach, that's a challenge, because do you want to continue with the culture and the message and the philosophy that old coach has? You can get away with that for a certain amount of time, but at some point it's got to be your program.
Right.
So you have to kind of balance that and, you know, and figure out when it's time to take over, when it's time to kind of, you know, recycle kind of the message that the previous administration had. But yeah, I think Keith nailed it, where, you know, it's definitely going to be, you know, you're going to have to try to identify, you know, Tomahawk's strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
What can they do well? You know, and that's going to probably change ball game to ball game.
And looking at the schedule, by the way, for Tomahawk, and again, for pretty much the whole GNC, it's no cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination. Everyone's schedule is tough non-conference games, because they're of the belief that iron strengthens iron, which it should. You know, that should be the mindset. But looking at the GNC guys, I agree with you. I think Medford is, geez, my mic is falling off. What in the world is that about? Jeez Louise.
That's why we can't have nice things here, Alex.
Listen, I am talking so much, I think I just talked the mic off. So I'll just go ahead and go like this really quickly for the rest of the show. So looking at this particular conference, as we talked about, Medford, I agree with you. They're probably going to be there. I think a lot of people's pick to win the conference this year. Then as it gets down from 2 through 7, it can go any which way. Like, you can pick one team at 2nd and one team at 7th, and both of them will be like, huh, you know what? That actually kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think obviously, Mosini is going to be going through a new coach. They've got a new quarterback in there, but their line is coming back. So that's what I think is going to help them quite a bit this year. Looking at the rest of the GNC, we talk about, you know, Anago. Anago is going to be on an uphill climb with the new head coach in Dan Whitman, but he's familiar with a lot of these GNC teams because Crannon would go against them every now and again.
Yep.
You look at Merrill. Merrill is returning their leading rusher from last year. You look at a team like, let's go to Rhinelander. Rhinelander, from what I heard, Jeremy Mayo is working at River News Sports out in the area. He does a great job. The thing with Rhinelander is that they are talented, but they just have a hard time putting it together. Mm. Like, they did it in spurts in their scrimmage last week, but they don't seem to have it fully together. I'm curious to see if they're able to have it fully together by the time the middle of the season comes around. Lakeland is returning a few key players as well. I think that that could be very intriguing. Wausau East, they're incredibly talented. The big thing for them is that they have got to be more disciplined. Because if they're disciplined, they could easily finish 2nd or 3rd in the GNC this year. Yep. It's not out of the realm of possibility for them. And then obviously with Tomahawk, you're bringing in a lot of new guys on both sides of the ball. You're also, here's another thing we haven't talked about, you're replacing a 3-time all-conference kicker also in Wally Horovic this year too. So special teams is going to be definitely a lot different this year. So, really, the Great Northern Conference, folks, if you're interested in listening to football, tune in. Like, this is going to be a good year. It's going to be teams beating up on each other. It's going to come down to the wire a lot of times. And I think this is going to be a very fun year.
Well, you know, losing Wally, if you score 8 and they score 7, Alex, like, you're going to win every time.
Yep.
but to build off what you said, you know, a sneaky team that we didn't really talk too much about was Merrill. And, you know, they played tough against Tomahawk the last couple of years, and they won a playoff game last year too, you know, and kind of got the brakes beat off them by Crafton, I think. But, you know, they've got some talented kids and a quarterback that's coming back. So, you guys nailed it. Any team, you know, from top to bottom, I think it's they're going to punch each other. It's going to be the old black and blue division, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's quickly go over Tomahawk's schedule, by the way, in case you don't know. They open up against Luther this Friday. Then they renewed their rivalry with Wittenberg-Burnhamwood, which I like. That has turned into a very good rivalry here in the area.
Yep. And they're going to be tough this year, too.
They are going to be very tough this year. They do have some key pieces coming back. The thing to look out, though, is that their conference is brutal.
Yeah.
It is brutal. You've got Stratford in there. You've got Wyoming Fremont in there. You've got Amherst in there. Colby's in there. You've got a whole host of teams that just beat up on each other on a consistent basis.
Yep.
Then you begin conference play. They have two conference games right off the bat at home, Wausau East and Anago. That'll be fun. Then they go to Lakeland and Rhinelander back-to-back. They have Medford for homecoming this year. They've got Merrill for senior night, and then they end the season in Mosinee. So that's how the schedule is going to, you know, work out. And the one thing that you hope for with this particular squad is that this team gets better every single week.
And stays healthy.
And stays healthy.
And that's to talk to the athletic director about why we're scheduling the hardest team for homecoming.
Well,
like, give these kids a homecoming win.
We did that when I played, and it worked.
Well, right.
But... they don't schedule any.
Those seniors last year where they didn't win a homecoming game all year, and they went out, and then that was the one loss they had against Mosinee.
You know what, though, guys? That would make that – you want to know what that would happen, though? That would make this year, if they were end up to be Medford, even sweeter
than
it was last year.
You bet.
So that's something to pay attention to here. The GNC media poll, in case you're intrigued, in case you're interested of it, it will come out on rivernews.com. That'll be coming out on Friday, the day of the week one kickoff. So pay attention to that. But again, Keith and I will be in the broadcast booth coming up on Friday as Tomahawk football takes on Luther. Fairman Orthodontics kickoff cabin will begin at 5:15. Kickoff is at 6. Other hatchet events taking place this week. Girls Swim Squad, they get their season underway tomorrow. They're headed down to Merrill for the Fun in the Sun outdoor relays at the mark. That gets underway at 5 o'clock. Tomahawk Volleyball, meanwhile, we mentioned this earlier, they open up with a scrimmage down in Merrill. That will begin at 9 Saturday morning, and then they open their season with the tournament down in the Wisconsin Dells. And next week, we're going to wrap up our preseason Hatchet interviews. Cross-country coach Connor Ahrens will be in to chat about the upcoming season. Got a chance to talk with him. They have about 36 kids out this year, and more boys than girls this year, which is a little surprising. So pay attention to that. Be sure to stay tuned. Gentlemen, do you guys have fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, every time.
Every time? Every time.
Every time.
Every time. Every time. Wow. All right. It's clear that I'm doing something right. It's clear that I'm doing something right. Thank you very much for tuning into the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q here on WJJQ. Coming up next week, again, we'll chat with Hodge Cross Country Coach Connor Ahrens. And, guys, college football actually begins next week. There is one Big Ten team in action. We will be doing Big Ten predictions also this year. Something to pay attention to. Yes, yes. Aaron's just like, ooh, I have the opportunity to pick Michigan for every game.
Yep. Definitely not Ohio State.
No, I would think not. But we hope that you enjoy tuning into the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday. You can check out a recording of the show online at WJJQ.com underneath the Audio Center. Thank you for tuning into the Hobbs Service Center Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Have a spectacular week. See you all next week.
Service Center Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday night at 5:30 for the latest sports news from around the state and in our Northwoods communities right here on Northwoods 92.5. WJJQ Tomahawk.